Blog Talk Radio.
It's the Morning Show.
Okay, you want to rehearse it one time before we go in there?
With award-winning journalist Cheryl Smith.
I'm good, but I'm not that good.
Bringing you informative, enlightening, thought-provoking, inspiring, and entertaining talk radio.
Young people going to stand up real quick. Come on. Come on. We gotta stand. Yo, everybody, come get your bounce on. Get your bounce on. Get your bounce on. Don't be cute with it. You gotta get, come on. Fifth one. Fourth one. Come on. Sing it.
I never knew I could be so happy. I never knew.
Think I wanna hit the moon.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the World According to Drew. I'm Andrew Wiggum live from Studio A this morning. What a beautiful morning. It's the ninth day of January. It seemed like we were just saying Happy New Year last weekend, and now look what's going on. Happy, Happy New Year for those that missed it. Again, welcome to the World According to Drew. So much is going on, so little time to talk about it. We have so much going on, and we're going to try to cover it in 2 hours. As always, read your African American newspapers. No matter where you are, we have a conglomerate of news resources led by the great Cheryl Smith. We have My Eye Messenger, Texas Metro News, and the Garland Journal. No excuse for getting the news. I know we old folks should say, if you want somebody to read it, don't read it. Just hide it in the Bible. Well, we're not carrying the Bible like we used to. We got the Bible on our telephone, so there's no excuse. You got access to all the news. So, again, Happy New Year again for those who have missed us with opening the show of last week for this 2022. Hey, we're going to be rocking and socking the whole year, so don't miss the episode. Some of the things give you an idea of where we're going this morning, but always remember it's an open platform. Wherever you want to go with it, we want you to express yourself freely as well. Always remember it's Sunday morning, so have some restraint, personal restraint on yourself as well. Hey, January 6th, insurrection, and I started back. We started with that. That was one of the biggest things that happened about this time last year. In addition to that, I want to say good morning to a great group of gentlemen that I've been associated with over 40 years. I want to say good morning and happy Founders Day to our illustrious members of Kappa Alpha Psi Fraternity Incorporated, 111 years in existence. Wow. Who would have thought that an organization could be together that long, especially an organization of black men? 111 years. Happy J5 is what we call it, not the Jackson 5. It's just January 5th. I want to say good morning to the Dallas Metroplex arrangement of men known as the alumni chapter as well as some of our undergrad chapters. So, hey, it's that kind of morning. Excitement is in the air, a little nip in the air. We're going to talk about a little weather, too, and talk about what you want to say about this weather. Crazy, crazy weather. And, you know, like any good chef this morning, the dessert will be, what do you think about A.B.? Not A.B.C., Antonio Brown. Fact or fiction? However you want to look at it, we'll talk about it this morning. Let's bring in the Prime Minister of Oak Cliff, Texas, none other, Triple H himself. And we're not talking about the hair tonic or nothing for a cold. We're talking about Harold Horatio Hubbard. Good morning. Yeah, he talking to silence. Good morning, sir.
Man, I have to have you on mute when you're introducing me, bro, because I be laughing so hard, I never know what you're going to say. But good morning. It just come out, huh? Good morning.
Great day in Dallas. A little cool this morning. We've been up and down this thermometer quite a bit. It's a little overcast today, but I have yet to look to see what the forecast is going to be in the Dallas area. But I tell you, it's going to be cold.
I tell you, man, last week when we dropped those, what was it actually, Andrew? Was it like 30 or 40 degrees within 3 hours? Man, that was just, wow, that was amazing.
Look, we dropped to 21, and I was up a little further north than I was, a little closer to the line in Oklahoma. Cars were coming back with snow on.
Yeah,
I know it.
So I mean, I'm sure they had a drastic drop as well. But I mean, the difference in temperature, man, was just amazing. It was just amazing.
Well, Errol, you know, nothing surprises me. When we had an opportunity last century with Al Gore telling us global warming. And nobody wanted to listen. And now they're caping that under the rug a little bit. But he was right. You got Iceland that's green, and Greenland that's ice. So, it's crazy. Everything's out of whack. Trees that's supposed to drop leaves or keeping leaves. And you see brown and green leaves on your tree. Never thought I would ever say that. And I used to always kind of look at seasons change a little bit. Growing in Florida, trees stay green for the most part. But they did change leads. But here, man, you know,
yeah,
with the hot, we'll probably get some of the trees that blossom in the spring, probably going to blossom in a little bit in February if we get a little weather change.
Yeah.
Let's not forget, that's February after Valentine's Day. We had the cold, cold weather where it threw off the grids. And now everybody in Austin praying that we don't get the snow again throughout Texas. Because I still don't think they've solved the problem.
No, they just throwing a little money at the situation. But like you said, they hoping that they don't. But what kind of mess is that, you know? They just now starting to really investigate and inspect. That means to me you have not changed anything. But anyway, who knows? But you know what's more amazing to me than the trees is that how it's confusing some of the wildlife and animals, man. If you look around, you'll notice that the birds seem like they don't even know which way to fly now with these seasons blending together. It's just amazing to me, man.
Well, I'm happy that because, look, there's less poop on the highway. That's what I call the street. On the highway, less of it.
Okay.
But you know what? Last night, I was driving around after leaving Paul Quinn College. Good morning, Paul Quinn. And how the – you see a lot of animals running around. I may have seen about four or five possums. But usually I see them every now and then. So they out running around looking for things. I mean, it doesn't have to be in the country no more, Harold. It's in the city.
No.
Awesome.
No.
Now, if I'd have been back in my old neighborhood, my neighbor, he would have had a good meal. He'll come, Mr. Gordon, come get a possum. Or a raccoon, he call it a coon.
Yeah.
Oh, he'll catch it, Harold, and he'll come out smiling in about a week. What else? Some good coon I caught in your yard, you know. So, where's the goers when you need him? Because a lot of them will be in trouble, and if he got a chance, you know, he'll catch them. And it wasn't sophisticated either. He'll find a way to trap him in the corner. And, you know, a possum will fight you. Possum will scratch you, do everything. But I had a real Daniel Boone in my neighborhood, and his name was Mr. Goers. So a lot of that is going on, but we're gonna make it happen this week in this show. You know, I open up here, of course, tell everyone to go ahead and read the, you know, our press releases. Cheryl puts out an e-blast, as they're calling it, daily. Cheryl, make sure you get on this e-blast. Maybe she'll text me and tell me how we can do it. Of course, I get my e-blast every day. We did say Happy Founders Day to the men of Kappa Alpha Psi. Today we're saying Happy Founders Day to Phi Beta Sigma, founded in 1914, and it's just a lot. We want to pass some sad news, if you didn't know. Sidney Poitier passed. You can remember him as the first black getting the Academy Award. Little is Other Valley, something like that. I kind of remember when they were saying amen. If you remember that, turn back your personal clock. And I have a special connection with the song Amen. If you remember Jesse Hester, if I'm not mistaken. Remember he played O'Reilly in Amen with Sherman Hemsley. Remember the old gentleman? He played Riley. He wrote Amen.
Oh, really?
Yes, sir. And Harold, tell me how I know that. Go ahead, ask me.
I guess it might be a college affiliation.
Or?
Returning.
You got it.
Yeah.
Good capital.
It's one or two.
Yeah. Well, we got to. I blow the horn when I have to. But
you don't, who will?
Yeah. You know, we say this all the time, and Cheryl can attest to that too. One thing they ask you when you play is put in order God, family, and fraternity. In some cases, sorority, and then you had to put that in the. Well, I was who I was before I became. How about that, Harold? That's something to put on your plate. I was who I was before I became.
Hey, man.
And
that's
hey. So it's going to be interesting how things unfold here through this one. And it's Jesse Harrison is his name. H-A-I-R-S-T-O-N. Remember, he played the role of Riley. And he wrote Amen. Hmm. Now, that's a song we all been singing all our life. Amen. 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 You know, it wasn't much on lyrics, but it's a strong song in church, ain't it? Let everybody say. Let the choir say. Let the usher say. Whatever. Whew. Boy, it's one of them mornings for me. But, yeah, Sidney Poitier, born in Miami, homeboy, down at the bottom. That's what we call the bottom in Miami. Raised in Bahamas, came back, went to New York, studied film and everything. First black to win an Oscar. A lot. Sidney Poitier. And in his 90s, hell, I tell you.
Class. He's a class act, man.
Yeah. And he got that Florida suntan. That's what I got. No comment? Oh, my goodness.
Sir.
I just knew you were going to jump on that.
Hey, man.
I just knew.
Hey. Hey. It's you, man. We know who you are.
I just knew you were gonna jump on that one. But I appreciate it. That was smart. It was smart of you.
Hey. I let you make it sometimes. You don't let me make it very often, but I let you make it sometimes.
I appreciate you. But they call me Mr. Tips. Mr. Tibbs, some character lines, the heat of the night.
Yeah.
Well, that was a star cast there, Rod Steigert, Lee Grant. Ooh. And even, what was that, B. Richards. You know, she was riding a long time. She also was in that Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, some of my favorite movies of his. Spencer Tracy, and don't forget Weezy Jefferson was in that too. She was the maid for Burt Lancaster or whatever his name was on the show. We'll get it together. But, man, died on the 6th. And, you know, Harold, we talk about the 6th, and we're going to talk a little bit more about what transpired a year earlier, on the 6th, and some people are starting to come to court. Some people, they start putting tight shoes. You know, that's what they told us. If you want the truth, put some tight shoes on. And then when your feet hurt, oh, man, that's the worst feeling in the world. You start telling all kinds of truths. All kinds of truths. But, let me tell you a little bit more, Sidney. I mean, I just, you know, as a kid from Florida, we knew where he was from. It just kind of gave us a sense of purpose of knowing that you can achieve anything that you want to if you put your mind to it. But they have him as a Bahamian American actor, even though he's raised in Bahamas. American Bahamian, let's change it up. Won the Academy Awards, first Bahamian, black, to win the Best Actor Award, receive Academy Award nomination, Golden Globes, 2 Primetime Emmys, British Academy Film, and TV Arts. Nomination of 8 Laurel 8 Laurel nominations, 1 Screen Actor Guild Grammy Award, and another Grammy nomination. His entire family lived in the Bahamas and still a crown colony. Now, they have a lot of colonies down there. Most of that was British at one time. Now, if you go to the Bahamas, they do drive on the wrong side of the street. That's what we call it. They have the English or British laws down in Britain. In the Bahamas. So you'll see people, of course, driving on the opposite side. He grew up in the Bahamas, but he moved back at the age of 15 to Miami and then to New York City when he was 16 and joined the American Negro Theater. Not theater, theater. Y'all know how y'all pronounce it. But we're going to show that. We have a little teaspoon of sense. The American Negro Theater. Landing his breakthrough role, a high school student in Blackboard Jungle. He also starred with Tony Curtis. And they were chained together as convicts in the Defiant Ones. And then you go on and go on, and then you got Global Globe acting, literally of the field. Only brother in there, dealing with, I don't know if you've ever seen the movie, folks, see it. You can go on YouTube and find it. He was a brother trying to help the nuns straighten out, establish the church. Very good movie. And they didn't cross the lines. Of course, TV wasn't ready for that. They probably weren't ready, in fact, that you had one brother with a whole bunch of ladies, white ladies. I just call it like I see it. Guess who's coming to dinner? The heat of the night. Shoot to Kill, Sneakers, Stir Crazy. Now, one of the, I guess, most memorable moments where he was bestowed the Presidential Medal of Freedom. President Obama gave him an award. I mean, it's just absolutely wonderful to see that occur. So you can go online and find out more about Sidney Poitier. I tell you, lived a full life, man. And it was rumored, but I still think it was so true, that him and Diane Carroll were together over the years. Diane Carroll was Julia. Boy, I tell you, Harold, something like that night and day kind of strike you in the heart, don't it? I leave that you to ponder on. Nice day. But you all, if you go to the E-Blast, and I'll go through that right quick, and then we'll get rolling here. Buy Black Business Spotlight is still have Miss Tina, the superb woman of the week here, is Reverend Francis Cudjoe Waters. And Harold, I know you've been working extremely hard, and let me get my calendar right. It is next Monday.
Yes, it is.
Next Monday, yes, we're going to have Dr. Martin Luther a day of service. We'll let you talk about that just a little bit.
You're doing pretty good at reading. I'm here as an overseer. You're doing pretty good. You got the information. Come on with it.
You got to be ready.
It's the world according to Drew. I'm just the overseer this morning. I wasn't going to let you leave it off. Trust me on that. But go ahead. We're still looking for vendors. If we got some vendors want to come on in, they can give us a call.
And what's the number they need to call?
you just refuse to read. 214-941-0110. That's off the top of my head. I believe that's the number, ain't it?
That is the number. But it's called Realizing the Dream. Healthy Living Expo. Powered, I love it. Powered by Don't Believe the Hype Foundation. And it's going to be on Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Day. The 17th from 10 to 5 at the African American Museum. We are currently accepting vendors. We're looking at, we're going to do health and wellness, handmade crafts, clothing, hair, beauty, jewelry, and accessories, and food trucks. I've submitted.
We'll have some authors there as well, Andrew. We'll have some authors. We'll have the young lady that we had on our show, little Miss Larry, the mother and daughter that did the book during the pandemic of the effects on the children and the learning. We'll have some educators there dealing with how they're having to educate and navigate in this new pandemic world of teaching. So we'll have a variety of people there. We want to get some people out and educate our community and highlight our black businesses and get some services among them as well. So it's going to be a good event, man.
Folks, we want you to come out, but wear your mask. Hey, let's practice social distancing.
How are we going to educate about the pandemic if we're not being responsible? So we will social distancing. You know, if you're feeling ill, don't come. I'm hoping we'll have someone set up to take a little temperature at the door and all of that good stuff, Andrew. We're going to be responsible while we're getting the information out. So you're right about saying that.
And please, for those who are listening, Harold, we're finding out your heart may be in the right place. My heart may be in. Some people's hearts may not be in the right place. We want have nice, clean, healthy, safe fun. People will be bringing their kids as well. And we need to be responsible. Responsible for doing what is right. Sponsors event. The Don't Believe the Hype Foundation, the African American Museum, Langford Avenue, the Dallas Morning News. I'm going to have to, DBFF looks like, the Dallas Fort Worth Association of Black Journalists, Mocha Cosmetics. I think I'm going to get a facial done that way. www.warningradio.com.
Yes, sir. We will be in effect.
Harold wears so many hats. You wear so many hats. That's good, my brother. The Garland Journal, iMessenger, Gold Black Business.
Metro News.
We got it all right here. So come on,
man. I've had such a busy week, Andrew. I'm not going to even lie. But it's been a joyful week, just learning how we can come together and share different things. I don't know if you were aware of it, but my little brother has got his foundation that's helped him after he had his accident. They're going to come on board with a booth as well, adaptive training. It's just information like that that we need to get into our community, man. It's just amazing. And I mean, bro, I'm so excited about it. That's why I was letting you do the talking, because, man, I could go on. We could have a 3-hour show about just the Healthy Living Expo and everything. But we got a lot to talk about, man, but we want to make sure people know next Monday to come out. Even though we'll have a show between then, we want to just put it on their minds now to make time, you know, to come out. Share some
and Harold,
time, get some information.
Harold, I want to add this. You know, we got this going on, and folks, remember, as host of this event, we are going to be very responsible for, I think, making sure that the environment is safe for you. And so if you know you got a temperature, don't come, because we're going to be checking right at the door.
Yeah.
That's the first thing. I know some people can be asymptomatic, but we want this to be a great family event. With, like we said, we tell them the children wellness. We'll be talking about eating habits. I know this is a little early, but when it comes to our Black History Month, they're looking at wellness. They're looking at eating habits. And I'm like Cheryl, from Martin Luther King Day all the way through February, I'm going to be a busy dude with all the Black History and Martin Luther King activities that are going on. And I'll give you more information about what I'll be doing. It probably would be on Teams.
I tell you what, Andrew, it's just a tie into the pandemic, man. I've been seeing articles that are saying that, you know, the virus attaches more to fatty cells. So healthy living is a great thing to do anyway, but it also can be tied into this pandemic. I mean, it makes you a high risk factor if you're overweight. I mean, I don't know if you've seen this, but I can forward you some articles on it, and it's very interesting, man. If we could take nothing else, pandemic, it should be that if you take care of your body, it will take care of you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It just is what it is. And I'm not saying that I'm perfect, but I'm sure trying to take care of better care of my body. You know, and I believe that any step toward it is better than where you were. So I'm not one of them, you know, let's just all get on the bandwagon to go vegan, because you know me, I love a good steak. But I'm just saying, if we can make steps and strive
right
toward taking care of our body, it will have us equipped with whatever comes up. That's what I want to say. You know, with
right
whatever comes
and hell, this, with this particular event, it's going to be a family event. Folks, we ask you to at least do your due diligence and wear
right
your mask. We should not say it.
And keep your
children
close to you as you can.
You know, it's not a rumor. You know what? We're going to be responsible for taking your temperature. We need you to be responsible for taking care of everything you need to do prior to getting in the building, because we
right
want it to be a safe and an educational venue. We want you to leave with something that you didn't come with when you come to our event, Living Healthy.
Right.
We got to learn how to eat. That's why I miss Dick Gregory so much, because he put emphasis on diet. He put emphasis on
right
how
you're so right, man. You are so
mentally healthy. And we need to get back to that, because, you know, we only get one time at this thing they call life. Well, I sound like Prince every day. Only get one shot at it. And we might as well make the most of it by taking care of our temples, because our temple will take care of us. Those are the things that off the air, we're going to make some little personal bets, and we're going to get some things going, and then we'll let the audience know how we came out with these personal bets on some things. I think you stepped ahead of me already. I'm already behind the ball, eight ball right now. But, you know, Barry White, we got to practice what we preach.
That's right. That's right. Man, you know what? And that's one thing I try to emphasize is you don't have to necessarily compete with someone else. Just be better, a better you today than you were yesterday. And if we would all look at it that way, Andrew, together we gonna all win.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, I mean, anybody want to pass the collection plate now, or you want me to keep preaching? Can I take my seat?
Hold on.
As they say,
look,
before I take my seat.
Yeah.
You know? Hey, we can do this, man. I mean, and Andrew, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and say this, man. I was going to try to make this not say this, but, man, it's been some people that's been negative on my timeline, bro. And I just tell them, look, man, you know, if that's the route you choose, who am I to tell you not to be? You know, it's people saying, how can 22 be better when 21 wasn't better than 20? It can be if you want it to be. Words are powerful. Words are powerful. So if you're going to choose to be negative, you go head on and do that. But I'm not going to go down that road with you. And I think that's what we have to do. We have to take personal responsibility for our own happiness.
You're absolutely correct. Absolutely correct.
They say misery loves company. But one of my good close friends shared with me this week, so does joy and peace if you spread it. So, hey, man, let's do this thing. You don't have to be with walk around with blinders on like ain't nothing happening now. I don't want nobody to think that's what I'm saying. But come on, man. We done overcome a whole lot, Andrew. You know we talk about this all the time. Us as a people
absolutely.
Have overcome a lot. And so who says that we got to let this be our demise?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're still trying to divide and conquer. Don't believe. Don't forget that. They're still trying to divide and conquer. So don't let them do it.
Well, you know what? That's always going to happen. You look in the state of Georgia, the congresswoman, she, oh, man, I'll talk about that later. Boy, these folks in January 6th and got them all stirred up again.
Yeah.
You know, and surprisingly, there were a lot of people from the Metroplex, Harold, had a gentleman from Wiley that his son turned him in.
Ain't that something? I saw that, man. I saw that. I was like, wow, good for him, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know what? Oftentimes as a kid, you want to emulate your parents. Now, some instances they are great. Instances they're not as great. I'll leave it at that. Excuse me. So the influence that you have on a kid, but that was quite brave. The kid was threatened by his father. Mother had some doubt because she wanted her husband. But when you have all these videos of him being right in the middle of the insurrection, they even had a brother who had, he was a journalist, they wanted to charge him. Well, to be honest, if it wasn't for some of his footage, we would not have seen what we got to see as it relates to that insurrection, going through the halls, people getting shot, people getting squeezed in doors,
That's true.
Putting their feet up on the desk. That's the first thing they told us when we go to school, went to school. Don't you put your shoes up on that desk. Now, I know some of us couldn't wait for the teacher to leave to do it, but you were told not to. And it was such a disrespect for the leaders of our country. You may not approve with what they may stand for. The respect of the House and the Senate on a traditional level should still be intact. Yes, we don't believe or we don't support some of the things that come out of there. But that was a sacred ground. If you go in the House of Representatives chambers, which you probably will not be able to for a while, but if you go in where, I think it was in the House, you go in off the right side, in one of the drawers, they fired a shot back in the early 1900s, late 1800s, and they never replaced the drawer. There's a hole, a bullet hole, in that drawer. Now, for you historians, go and look that up. I want you to look it up. There is a hole, and I can't remember exactly who has that seat now, because they've got more and more representatives based on our population. But that was one event, and now for this to happen in the 21st century. It's just a travesty to the American democracy of the United States of America. Excuse me. It just kills me. And then Twitter, if I'm not mistaken, I think they shut down somebody. Shut down this Congress lady from just going off, talking racial things, a racist of a Georgia congresswoman. And her name is Marjorie Taylor Greene, Greene with an E. I mean, it's gotten to the point now, Harold, I will look. Now, before I get any opinion about anything, I'm going to look at CNN. I'm going to look at Fox. Because you can see the same story, you know, how the old folks used to say, it depends on who tells the story. It looks like a glass of water.
On different
stuff. It looks like a glass of water to you and I. CNN might say the glass is containing water. Fox may say it's water in the glass. Basically saying the same thing, but they're explaining it differently. And I like to get both sides just to get a feel. But sometimes you get that gut punch from one of the networks, and it just kind of throws you in a tizzy. But, folks, we have to be informed and try to get both sides. You can get your own opinion. Because sometimes, you know, they might be misleading you both. Who knows? So you have to kind of have your own understanding of what's going on. So get a variety. Just don't hear from one source all the time, because that's where we get caught up. Definitely where we get caught up. It's about, boy, time flies. 47 minutes, if I'm not mistaken. Let me go back to my testy timepiece. 47 minutes after the hour. Welcome to the World According to Drew. I'm Andrew Wiggum live from Studio 8 this morning. Harold Hubbard is riding shotgun. Hey, it's a lot to talk about. We made mention of Sidney Poitier dying this week, first black to get an Oscar, some memorable roles he's played, his contribution to a lot of our African-American actors and actresses wanted to be like Sidney. You know, they talk about want to be like Mike, want to be like Sidney Poitier, that is. And icon in our lifetime, will there be another one? Denzel climbing. You have a lot of people that are climbing. Halle Berry got her Oscar. You know, and it's amazing how they got Oscars for really, I don't think, their best movie. I think he missed out on where the Training Day was not his best work, to me. His best work was Malcolm X, to me.
He's had so many, like you said, he's had so many good movies, man, over the years. Just a powerful actor, how he's so versatile, you know. I have to give him that, man. He's very versatile. He's not one that they can say got typecast anyway. I put it like that. You know how they'll put you in a role and you have to be that in every movie? No, that's not Denzel there.
And, you know, he's turned it around and taking care of the directorship. Antoine Fisher, great movie. It's an old movie. If you've never seen Antoine Fisher, you need to see it, y'all. That's all I got to say. Well written, well produced, directed, the whole nine yards. And some of us, Harold, are having the Antoine Fisher syndrome. You know? So I say that to say this. Y'all got to get and look at some of these movies. They're great works. And they're not going to be here with us all the time. And we're not going to be here to see it either. So get on board. Get on board. Now, folks, you know, I mentioned earlier, for those who are on, we're going to talk about A.B., and that's Antonio Brown, formerly of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We're going to talk about some things that could be going on in our neighborhood that we don't even think about. And I'll just put mental illness out. Could be that. I'll take a different spin once we start talking about A.B. a little bit. He just, like dynamite, tick, tick, boom, he blew up. He blew up on the field. So, Harold, get your thoughts together a little bit about that.
Man, I'm.
It's so we're going to touch it in about 10 minutes. We're going to look at some of the we want everyone to participate, kind of give your opinion, tell me what's going on or how you perceive or observe what has transpired in the National Football League. I'm going to throw a couple of different twists in there for you. I've been around pro football teams basically all my life. A lot closer than you may think. but I can share a little insight on some of the things that have transpired through professional sports. I'll put it like that. But folks, don't forget, as we mentioned, we need to participate in the Don't Believe the Hype. You hear me? Don't Believe the Hype Wellness. They're the foundation that will that is sponsoring this. Cheryl has had the foundation for years. We should do the Bowl-a-thon. We'll probably, you know, we'll have to wait to see how the COVID epidemic or pandemic happens, you know, if it's the new norm. We'll see. Only time will tell. But do your due diligence to be safe. Wear your mask. Keep your distance. That's what we need to do. Now, Harold, you know, I'm talking about AB in the second half. Insurrection happened. Let's talk a little bit more about that. What went through your mind when you saw this?
You're talking about the year out from the resurrection uprising?
Yeah.
Riot. You mean those thugs? What are those other names that you haven't heard?
Insurrection.
Yeah, that was just some thugs that were trying to overthrow the government. Let's throw those words around like they get thrown around. And I'm not going to say it was good guys on both sides of the line. No, them was some thugs that were trying to overtake the government. They didn't like the election, and they were told to do that by the sitting, by a sitting president. Anything else? It has come out, man, that they got him on tape saying that he would be there with them. But all of us know he's a coward. He was somewhere in a bunker. But I'm just saying, say that he wasn't responsible for that, Andrew. Come on, man. Just another one of his lies. You know, and I don't see why he ain't on trial yet. Anybody else would have did something like that, it would be treason. Treasonous.
Yeah. Things we read about. Didn't know it could happen. A few people have gotten treason over the years. You know, the existence of this country.
In order for it to be treason, it does have to be something to do with war. But basically, in my opinion, he called his people to war on the Capitol. I mean, you know, come on.
For us to be such a civilized country.
Right.
We attack our own country. You know, you see in the Middle East where they're attacking the government because of their freedoms or what they expect to occur. Okay? But this was a select group that took their own personal stand because
they didn't like the outcome of an election. Did we like the outcome when he got voted in, Andrew? Let's just go back there. Did we like that?
We knew it was done, but did we go burn up?
We didn't go throwing fire extinguishers in the Capitol is where I'm going with this.
Yeah.
You know, but
we didn't bump up. We didn't bump rush the White House or the Capitol like climbing the wall, scaling the wall like Spider-Man.
Like Spider-Man, yeah. You know, boy, I mean, I hate
but you know, Harold, it all started in Charlottesville. If that wasn't the
there were good people on both sides.
Yes. You know, if you see a frog, call it a frog.
That's right. That's why I'm calling them thugs and gangsters, because that's what I saw, was thugs and gangsters taking over the White House. That's what I saw.
And under his four years.
You know what, man? What's lost in that, man, is there were officers that lost their life that day.
Yeah.
Okay, man, bro.
But, Harold, their thoughts were not on the side or the property that was potentially damaged. To show a presence that their disapproval of the election.
Exactly.
And what really hurts is that could you imagine us as African Americans, some of the lesser of things that we've received over the years? Had it been us attacking the Capitol, they would have gotten the congressman out, Congress personnel out, and may have blown up the first end of would have opened fire. You know, when we in the narrative, Harold, it seems to bring out the worst in a lot of people.
Yeah, I agree. It's just, man, I got to say, I don't even like giving it any energy, man. I don't even like giving it any energy because this is no brainer, man.
You know, folks, I'm just speaking the way it is. You have to be able, and most living in this, on this side of the street that I'm on, too young to really have dealt with the civil rights and how they were just blatantly treated. But some people are trying to take us back, spinning back their hands of time to make sure that we understand that there's a place in this world.
Along that note, right there, what you just said, can you imagine if the people would have just done the least of fire hoses back in the day like they used to do us to break up lines? Can you imagine the narrative would have been on that if they'd have just wet them up with some high-pressure hoses?
Well, why don't you add dogs to it?
You see what I'm saying? Or dogs. I mean, that's less lethal than what you just got through saying what they would have done to us. You know, you're right. They'd have opened fire on us nowadays, for sure. But I'm just saying.
Just burn the church up.
Yeah.
Boy. They forgot that part of history.
Yeah. But we supposed to just get over it. But they couldn't even get over it.
The one or two that were in it that looked like you and I, you know, I mean, this is a country where you can do what you need to do.
Right.
That's understood.
Yeah.
But if we're about the United States of America, it's for everybody. And I'm telling you, we are having, this is a civil war still within ourselves, within our own country. We're showing our weaknesses. And countries have people in here that are watching. And let me just go ahead. I've been biting at the bit on this one, Harold. When you and I and three, four others of color get together, people got a problem. They got a problem with it.
It's funny that you say that. I try to tell the young brothers at work that, man, you know, when it's two or three of us together, they're going to think we up to something now. Y'all, you know.
Right. And we can be all for the betterment of society.
Right.
But
the
watchful eye of Big Brother being America has always been to keep us down. Well, where your energies are keeping us down, there are other nationalities that are coming to this country. They come and they continue to worship in their way in our country. They continue to shop their own way in our country, whether it's food, clothing. Now, can you imagine if we came and you and I dressed in our attire from the brothers and sisters in Africa, it would be an issue. At work, you see other nationalities are carrying out. They pray. They talk their language. Where's the censorship there? Now, Harold, let me tell you, you know, and I don't talk about it much. Where I work can't be no different than any place in the world, microcosm of America. But we have people from other countries that still may wear headdress. Some may not. They do speak their own language, and it should be in your break time and not while you're working, because half the clientele, well, three-fourths of the clientele that we work with speak English. So when you're trying to say something privately hit, and it's in a different language? Come on. We have stopped policing ourselves. If I report, oh, you're just sensitive. They report, y'all need to do something about it. See the difference? Sensitive, do something about it. It's crazy. It's always a negative pointing in our direction. So my thing is, folks, the way things are going today, we need to get closer than we've ever been. And don't worry who has the biggest piece of chicken on the plate. See, we worry about the wrong stuff. Well, if you don't like breast, then you don't get the breast. If you want a little bit, get the wing. But no, you got to get the breast. Everybody wants the breast when they don't eat the breast. I use that narrative, Harold, because when we should sit down at the table, you know, daddy got the biggest piece of chicken. Kids got the drumsticks. The wing was too much work. Drumstick was very simple. And I couldn't wait when they told me how you get the breast of the chicken. I couldn't wait to get older so I could get the breast of the chicken. But that's a progression that we've gone through. And now when we want the breast, we can't get it. Because January 6th is trying to prevent it from happening. Georgia came out with the laws that Georgia certified that the election was done fairly. Now they were getting on the governor because he didn't change to accommodate the former president of the United States. So now they're working to get him out of office. They're trying to see who they can put in their place. You know, Stacey Abrams running again. There's some troubles in Georgia, I tell you right now. Troubles in Georgia. Troubles in America. You see how they've done Texas. They've redistricted all the people that were in Houston. Houston probably produced more of the blacks in the house than any area in Dallas. I mean, any area in Texas. Now they redistrict so they can run against each other. Folks, we got to wake up. We must wake up. They're changing the rules of the game in the middle of the game. You can knock them out, but you better believe it. They get more than a 10 count. They get days and months so they can wake up and start again. The rules have changed in the middle of the boxing game, which is very unfortunate. It's 9:05. Welcome to the World According to Drew. Andrew Wiggum live. We have someone raising their hand. Appreciate it. Good morning. Happy New Year. All the way from the boot. Good morning.
Hey, God bless you, good brothers. How y'all doing today?
Good morning.
All right. Good talking to you. Happy New Year to you. Hope y'all have a blessed 2022.
So far, so go.
Yeah. I was talking about the January 6th. I think the U.S. should really be having to be on their knees praising God and asking God for forgiveness, because studies have indicated that since, I guess, the early 1900s, that the U.S. government has overthrown over 64 countries. And another study says the U.S. government has overthrown over 81 countries, whether it's overt overtakes of governments or covert overtakes of governments. And a lot of these governments were democratically elected by the people in those independent countries, whether it be in Africa or the Caribbean, South America, Asia. So the U.S. has a lot of blood on its hands, and you reap what you sow. So the U.S. should not be surprised by January 6th, because, again, they have overthrown a lot of government regimes throughout the international world. So it's bound to happen in the U.S. based on what the U.S. has been doing to other foreign countries. So I'm not surprised at all what happened January 6th.
There you go.
And a lot of times,
right, you start, Eric,
get access to the minerals, huh?
Yeah,
a lot
we
of times
never
through governments just to get access to minerals that they may have had, whether it's aluminum, bauxite, gold, diamonds. It was just for greed purposes for the most part.
That's right.
And you know, when you do that kind of stuff, it's bound, January 6th is bound to happen. That's just the way God works. You know, the spirit works. You reap what you sow. So if the U.S. wants to avoid more January 6th, it has to watch how it's carrying itself throughout the international world.
As always, man, you brought it home. That's the bottom line. That is, you know, thug mentality is going to eventually come on your own turf. You're right. You're right about that, man.
Yeah, and a lot of innocent people here have to pay the price for that, you know.
That's right.
A lot of brothers and sisters went to war just for corporate America, you know.
Yeah.
Because they were saying, I think it was either Vietnam or Nigeria, I forgot where it was, all the areas were being bombed except for oil companies. You know, the areas weren't being bombed, you know. But, again,
yes,
a lot of these times wars are based on corporate America greed, you know. So that's how it is. So, you know, I wasn't surprised at all about January 6th. Again, the U.S. ought to be happy. This has only happened once. Maybe some other times we don't know about. But, you know, this is not a surprise at all.
Oh, yes. Yeah, absolutely. But the thing is, again, I never thought we would have such an internal disruption like this with the Capitol. I mean, there have been throughout this country over the years, but in our lifetime, we've never seen anything of this magnitude. And it's almost like we've become a third world country where we have this behavior. You're fighting your government. And it's not so much fighting the government. It's just one party that did not accept what happened. And it's been controversy over the years with presidential elections, but never to this magnitude, the responses that we received with this one. And this is the time in history. When we're dead and gone, they can read about this, what happened in 2021. And they're going to say, oh, my God, they tried to take over. Maybe we need to take over, too. You know, whatever the time frame. It's a tragedy for what the principles are. And we know, and I'll say this, I've always been a studier, a student of the American Constitution. Yes, some things are outdated, but what those founding fathers put in that Constitution, Bill of Rights, all of that was phenomenal, on how they wrote that. And yes, even though we were, two-thirds of a man, three-thirds, whatever the fraction was, then yes, we need to make some changes to it to represent people. Now, of course, they'll fight that to the end, but that's all we've ever wanted, just our little place and space here on Earth, in this country as well, to be able to level the playing field. Will it ever happen? No. But we want it to be more level than it's ever been. And there are a few of us out here, and us collectively, Harold, are doing extremely well. And then we forget them once we come. Yeah, you're sitting on four to 20 acres with your beautiful home. But if you don't pay your light bill, they'll cut you off too. They don't care who you are. And we need to remember, if you got all that, then put some hay rides out there for some of the kids in the city to come out, and you can reach back and do something. See, we forget on what we have to reach back and pull somebody along the way, no matter what the endeavor is. That's what we must do. But we don't do it. You got yours. We want yours, or want what you have, but we're not willing to teach you how we got it. generational wealth. Not too many of us can say that we receive that, but they continuously do it on the other side of the street. All right. Well, Eric, you're in time now. We're going to change gears. I tried to get some other folks online. Maybe they'll come on now. Let's talk about the implosion of A.B., Antonio Brown. People have talked about his displaying. Was he hurt? Was he not hurt? Was he not targeted? I've been around professional sports a long time. Incentives are based on performance. As a receiver, you know who controls your fate? Your quarterback. Your quarterback controls your fate. If they're not coming to you like they think, you should be coming like you thought you should have been targeted. It's all on your quarterback. When you leave $1 million in the bank, it's not in your account because you had a wild hair. Do what you got to do. Get your money. And then go. That's what I fought him for. But I'm saying this, and I'll open up a debate. When you're a black athlete, you get treated different, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent. You start accepting some of the roles of society that are associated with it. To this day, and people think I'm crazy, you got to live in Dallas to understand what I'm saying. The only professional football player in the 30-plus years I've been in Dallas, Texas, has come south of the Trinity River to do a football camp has been Terrell Owens. And I said, the only. We've had superstars. They may get mad. I know a couple of them personally. Michael Irvin. They go up north. Emmitt Smith, go up north. Drew Pearson, been up north. Dak Prescott, been up north. But the only man to come south has been T.O. Now, a lot can be said about T.O. I said that for a reason. He played the same position, Antonio Brown. And for those who don't know, you know T.O. trying to come back. He would be the first Hall of Famer to return to the game if they brought him back. Well, they say, why would they do that? T.O. Mindset is pretty much like Antonio Brown. But my question today to all you football fans, have you ever met a top-tier receiver in this modern era? Excuse me, ladies, for saying it, but I mean it from the top of my heart. Have you ever met a wide receiver, top tier, that was not a diva? There are a few out there. If you can name them, I want you to name them. Press one to get in. I'm going to ask Eric first.
Megatron.
Okay, Megatron. Very good. But he had some issues, too. He was hurt, and they cracked him up. And he walked away from the game early. Don't forget that.
That was just supposed
what
to.
Did it play? He said he was hurt. Eric, you got one?
I've been laying out on you, Andrew, but that's what they're saying some of this was with Antonio Brown too, is that he was telling them he was hurt. They wanted him to go back in the game.
All right. Eric, do you have any of them that you know that was not a diva first?
Now, starting from what years you're talking about? What years are you thinking about?
You know what? I'll give you the 70s.
Okay. 70s. I think Jerry Rice, he seemed to seem to be pretty level-headed. What do y'all think about Jerry Rice?
Well, yes.
No, he's kind of complained about getting the ball, too, now.
Yeah,
that's
did.
What he's mean about. He was known to complain about not getting targets.
Right. Let me tell you what he really blew up. Remember when John Taylor scored that winning touchdown against Cincinnati? I think Steve Young threw
uh-huh.
the ball. That's
yeah.
when Jerry hit the roof.
Did he?
And I think within
okay.
a year or so, Jerry went on to the Raiders.
Yeah, John Taylor's nice. Tim Brown. What do you think about Tim Brown or the Raiders? Tim Brown.
You know what? Tim was great. No, Tim was good, but he wasn't great to me.
Mm-hmm.
He did very good for the Raiders. You know, Heisman Trophy winner. You know, out from Dallas, Woodrow Wilson High School. You go out there now.
Oh,
they
yeah,
have
right.
murals.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, murals. I went out there for a basketball tournament. Murals.
I didn't know we were talking about if they were great or not. You said which one was the deep. Come on. You said which one was the deep. Now you're talking about he wasn't great. The boy was. The boy was good. The boy was good. I know him, boy. The boy was good.
The boy was good. The boy was real good. Real good.
You see how he switched up on us there?
Randy Watson. All right. But Tim, you know, he asked for the ball a little bit, but Tim was kind of on the quiet side. Let me give you one.
But the point is that all of them have the attitude to be great, and I understand that. They really do, you know.
Larry Fitzgerald was kind of quiet about
it. Oh, yeah.
Sure,
I was thinking about him.
Yeah, right.
Okay, but he was one of the quiet ones. Now, to be great in this league, you have to put up numbers. I'm going to start with Keyshawn Johnson. Was he a diva or was he not a diva?
Shoot, yeah.
I'm going to say he's a diva. I would think so.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
What do
you
think?
They
he
used to call him Meeshawn. He wasn't Keyshawn around here. He was Meeshawn. He was about
right,
me.
Yeah,
about
that.
But he wrote a book called Throw Me the Damn Ball.
Right.
See,
right,
that
right,
says
right.
it all.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
High level receiver. My boy T.O., my favorite. I love
mm-hmm.
me some meat. What do you say? I love
yeah.
me some meat.
There you go.
Sad
okay,
old
let's,
show
let's talk about the. Oh, yeah.
Let's talk about
the greatest
Beckham.
Show on turf.
What did you say,
Eric? The greatest show on turf. You had the greatest show on turf, the Rams. You had Isaac Bruce, Torrey Holt. What do you think about those two?
They were mad when
Marsha had to run.
Right. You see, my thing is, man, do you put yourself above the team? That's
mm-hmm.
what it is with me, being the sportsman in me. Do you put yourself
mm-hmm.
above the team? Or are you bringing out greatness in your fellow players that everybody needs to be better?
Right.
You know, there's
mm-hmm.
there's a fine line in there, you know.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I got some more for you. We love Michael Irvin. Was Michael Irvin a diva?
Man, yeah.
Oh,
still is.
Yeah.
Still is. He brought that Florida mess in here with all them colors and wearing furs in the summertime, man.
Wait,
Alvin Harper
seemed
pretty cool. Alvin Harper seemed pretty cool.
I think Alvin Harper was very level-headed, brother.
Okay, let me paint this scenario for you. You fine athletic scholars here. Every year that Michael Irvin and Dallas Cowboys won a Super Bowl. If Michael Irvin was Batman, he had a different Robin every year that they won. First, it was Kevin
mm-hmm.
Martin.
Oh, yeah, you love him.
Alvin Harper, gone.
Mm-hmm.
And then your homeboy, Harold K-Dub, was the other one with
mm-hmm.
Michael when he won the Super Bowl.
Who was
mm-hmm.
that?
K Kevin Williams.
He went to Roosevelt. Yeah, he Roosevelt grad.
Okay. All right.
See what I'm saying? When they were making bigger catches, because Michael was mad when Alvin made that big catch against San Francisco. Remember when they got that one done? Next year, 04, I think he was in Tampa Bay. Signed that big contract. He got his hands taped. If you've ever seen, and y'all need to look at my hands, I played with Diva too. The finger on those receivers are unbelievable. The ugliest set of hands I've ever seen a guy to have. And I'm sorry, Jake, I got to tell on you. Jake Reed got the worst looking fingers I've ever seen in my life. You know who Jake Reed is?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Minnesota Vikings, the Vikings.
And he's playing for the Saints. He came from Grambling. And you know what he told me when we talked? I asked him who threw the ball the hardest he's ever caught. He said, Randall Cunningham could spin that thing. That's how he said it. He said, that ball get up on you so fast you don't even know what to do. And when you put your hands up out of a break, you basically defending yourself.
I've heard that said about a lot of quarterbacks.
Wow.
You don't catch it, it's going to knock you out.
But he said that he personally thought that he bad. And his fingers broke. You know who else got a bad set of hands, but he's not a receiver? Next time, y'all look at Booger McFarlane.
Look, well, I have to admit, man, looking at men's hands ain't like something that I go around and do, but I'm just going to throw that out there.
Harold, but this is a scientific project we look at.
Okay.
We look at a scientific project.
Okay.
You know, the ups and downs of football is unbelievable. The residual. And I get mad because there are a lot of brothers that played that game and right now barely recognize themselves when they look in the mirror. With those head injuries, they're not getting paid an equal amount.
That's true. That is true.
We talked about, you know, they've always kind of discredited the brother in the National Football League. Now, Vince Young, we love you. We know you were not a Rhodes Scholar when you left Houston in high school. We know it. But the boy sure can play. He played in college. They blackballed him in Tennessee. He's the first one to fail the Wonder Lick. Are y'all familiar with the Wonder Lick? That was the test they were trying to get to the quarterback. Because remember, that was the year they brought out a lot of black quarterbacks. Vince was the first one to take it. You know what? I don't think Terry Bradshaw was the brightest bulb on the tree.
No.
And that's why I don't personally like the Steelers. I know my frat brother is a coach now, but let me take you back in history. You got to know the game to know the history. There was a guy called 747 Joe Gilliam, Tennessee State, was a quarterback in the early 70s. They brought a kid from Louisiana in. His name was Terry Bradshaw. Gilliam had that team rolling. Bradshaw called him everything but his name. And you can look it up. He called him all kind of Negroes, hyphenated. How about that? We're going to call it like that. And I see him on there, I just cringe every time I see him on Fox. Because when Antonio went off, he started going off. So those real colors started to come out, especially with this story. But he took Joe Gilliam's job, and then they went on to win the Super Bowl. That was Joe Gilliam's thing. Chuck, Art Rooney, all them. We got to save our white quarterback. We got to put Gilliam on the bench. Gilliam had the same weapon. He could throw the ball just as far, just as bad as Bradshaw. So the brothers have never gotten a fair shake. You talking about Deshaun Jackson. That's another diva. He's still playing. They don't want to get all the numbers to get Hall of Fame. I did mention Odell Beckham, didn't I?
Oh, yeah. And I think you may have more divas now than back in the day because on the Steelers, John Stallworth, he seemed to be level-headed. Lynn Swann seemed to be level-headed. Well, Paul Warfield back then, all Hall of Famer, he seemed to be level-headed, you know.
Yeah.
So I think you have more divas nowadays than you did back then.
They couldn't speak out, too, Eric. They couldn't speak out as much. They didn't have Twitter. They didn't have a mobile phone. They didn't have a news camera, even if you went out to eat.
Yeah.
People didn't have cell phones to capture everything that they did. They may have spoke out, but then it wasn't the time and place for it at that time, at that particular time in history. But now these modern guys, and it's incentive-based. People fail to realize that everything they do is incentive based. You get 400 catches. I'm just going to play this up. But when you take that 400 catch, guess what? They're going to be stuck at $3.99 for 2 weeks. They're going to come to you, but they're going to throw it high. Might throw it at your feet because you're going to get that $1 million. That's why they slow you down. So Antonio Brown, yeah, there's something going on with that boy. He go cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. We know it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's
screaming out.
They took $1 million off the table with him. $1 million. If he has X amount of yards, he'd get $333,000. If he had some touchdowns, $133,000. And I don't know, you guys, you need to look at this program for the love of the game. They're talking about guys who they love the game, but they play it hurt. And Eric, right there in your area, I can't think of the guy. He had all that blonde hair. He was an offensive lineman. Curly, I think that was his name. He took the helmet off and across the field.
Right,
during
right.
the game. I talk about warm-ups.
Yeah.
You know how they treated the players? They wanted you on the field. And I hold that thought. Who do you think the doctors on these teams, who do they work for?
You work for the team.
All right. Harold, who's your response?
Yeah.
It's definitely who they work for. Don't get it twisted.
So look, back in the old days, they'd take them if they had a knee issue, they'd go and give them some cortisone in the knee and send them back out there to play. Didn't care about the health. So Antonio could be hurt. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. He hurt, wasn't feeling good. Now, he led you to think he was better than hurt the way he scampered across that field like he did.
Nothing to do with it, man. I'm sorry. Yeah. That don't have nothing to do with his ankle and being able to get out on that field. And who are we to say the severity of his injury?
Yeah, he could be hurt. But I'm just saying, what he left, his last impression on that field didn't give you any.
Oh, it was crazy. Listen, but I'm just saying, we shouldn't jump in on that, man. You know, the way he handled it, yeah, that was crazy. But who's to say that we should weigh in on the severity of his ankle and whether he thought he could play on it and without causing further damage, is what I'm saying.
Well, I got a feeling quietly they may give him his money. Because he texted the coach saying, I'm not 100%, this, that, and the other. And then, of course, the trainer to say he is. He got a bone sticking out of the top of his toe. He ready to go. They just have bodies out there. I'm telling you, it's become a meat market. And they're still trying to undermine the black quarterback. Still.
Mm-hmm.
And the league has been just as racial as it could be. Doug Williams break every record in the Super Bowl in one quarter. Not the whole game. One quarter had the most passing yards. Then the second half, they get the ball to Timmy Smith. Timmy Smith get the most yards rushing. So they break two records in one bowl.
Right.
The next year, Montana comes next year. It breaks Doug's record, and he threw all the way through the fourth quarter. Doug get his in one quarter. The league didn't want Doug's face as the record for the Super Bowl. And since then, we've only had what we've had in there. Mahomes, they didn't let him pass nobody. Wilson. And I think that's been about it. And they want to get the ball. Look, they want to tarnish. They want to tarnish Wilson by throwing that slant against the Patriots, and then want to give Marshawn Lynch the glory. In other words, what they did, they took the ball out of Marshawn Lynch's hand. Because all of us, if you know football, we would have run. We would have given the ball to Marshawn Lynch.
That's just common sense. Yeah.
But you pass on the goal line, Malcolm Butler get the interception. A year or two later, Malcolm Butler, you did what you were supposed to do. We don't need you no more with the Patriots. The more I think, and I'm putting a lot of stuff in, the more I think about Colin Kaepernick's presentation that he made about the narrative comparison between slavery and the National Football League, losing flaws. Because they do. They want the biggest, the strongest, and the fastest. Just like when they traded our forefathers and foremothers. Jimmy the Greek couldn't hold it long. Boy, they something out. They get the biggest man and the biggest woman to create the biggest child. Al Campana never thought a manager of a major league should be black. They just don't have the mental capability. Hello, Dusty Baker. Hello. I can't even think of the Dodgers. Manager one, he black. How about Cito Gaston for Toronto?
Yeah, I was about to say
black.
Cito Gaston, that's right. Yeah, Cito.
We don't have a cerebralness that's needed to coach anything. And the only reason we're not coaching hockey is half the brothers can't even play.
Let me ask you this. How far
yes,
are we from having black – how far are we from blacks owning their own leagues again? How far are we from that?
What league? What sport?
It could be any football, basketball.
Okay, any of the major sports? I think basketball would be the. I think basketball would be the closest.
Because
you know we got back 5%, and then they realized that the American brothers, the American Anglos, could not keep up with the brothers. So guess what they've done? They've gone overseas. They've got the Europeans to come over and play, and these kids have been playing since they were 16 pro. Euclid, Dirt.
Yeah.
Jokic, that's the baddest white boy I've seen in a long time.
Well, you got your guy in Dallas there.
Look, Not molasses. I couldn't give him molasses. I love fight. He's slow.
Uh-huh.
But nobody can stop him.
Mm-hmm.
He's equally as good. He's left and right hand.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he can do things. But I think it's called ownership.
Who do they? Who's more popular, him or Dirk? In Dallas, at Dirk's peak, who's more popular? The guy you got
Dirk.
Now. What's about the guy you have now?
Yuka Doncic.
Yeah. The Doncic or Dirk? Who's more popular in their prime? In Dallas.
He's 52. See, Dirk got 19 years or whatever years in the league. Around Dallas, everybody loves him. They love this boy here is good, but he's staying hurt. He hurt more than Lupin.
Okay. Now for the blacks to get their own league, they say the main thing you need for a successful league, along with the finances, is to have a TV contract. So that would be something. The black ownership would have to do is get some kind of TV contract. That's where a lot of the money comes in at, you know.
Right. But look, the best station we had to do basketball, if you wanted to, was BET. Well, guess who owns BET now?
Oh, yeah, you're Viacom or somewhere?
Viacom. You know what else Viacom owns?
Mm-hmm.
CBS.
CBS, oh, yeah, wow.
All right, so they've closed that narrative. TV One is the only thing. You think they can get the sponsorship to run the NBA? Nah. See, not only are they playing with the livelihood, they're playing with your pockets, too.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
If we hold the TV station, we can control what we present to the general people. And that's exactly what Tom did. Michael Jordan, what I can understand, with all the money LeBron has, all the money Michael has, why can't they join forces and buy something? LeBron owns a part of the Boston Red Sox. If I'm not mistaken, Wade has an interest in Utah.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So can you imagine them putting in things either get an NBA franchise or a football team with a brother in it? LeBron a billionaire now.
Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But they can say what they want to say about LeBron. He was only trained in high school. The boy has done himself well with the money.
Oh, seriously. Oh, don't forget Magic. Don't forget
Magic.
Well,
Magic is good, but LeBron, I think LeBron will probably come close second to Michael, because Michael's shoes been selling too long. LeBron getting there.
Yeah.
But LeBron has gotten to a point a lot quicker than Jordan did at this point. It is. But if the resources, they can buy anything they want. He can't buy a team right now because he's still in the league.
Or at least at bottom, start your own shoe company at minimal. You know, start your own shoe company.
Yeah. Well, they're under a lot of scrutiny with the sweatshops over in China or Indonesia, wherever they make these Nike.
You
sell them for $200, production is only 10 to 20. For those who are listening, this is the World According to Drew. I'm here with them live. We have some guys on. Ladies, I want to hear what you have to say about Antonio Brown. I'll add this. I think he does have some mental issues, but again, he plays a position, or played a position, where they're a little different. And the word we'll use for today, ladies, and I apologize, but I think it suits them well. wide receivers, most of them are divas. They got to have everything their way on a professional football team. If I don't get my catches, you know, I'm pissed. I want to write a book to let you know how I felt. I guess I'll call it the damn ball. Beth Miller. And then he gets on First Take of these other, and he talk about how could that receiver. Sometimes you got to look in the mirror before you talk.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, those are the things that are going on. So, ladies, I know we have some football enthusiasts that are ladies. Can you name a receiver, ladies, that were not considered divas in the National Football League? We'll let you all time. I know in the old days, first of all, they didn't get all the airtime. That's another thing, y'all. If they did something positive, you know they didn't get it. But if they got arrested downtown, then they get the time they need or don't want.
Right.
Beckham has been kind of quiet with the Rams. He did mention that he wanted the ball a little bit more. I think if I can do more, I can help the team out. You know, we got that established. But it's tough out there. But again, I repeat, my favorite is Terrell Owens. Even though he went to Duncanville, a lot closer than North Dallas. A lot closer than Plain Old McKinney, South Oklahoma, because no one bought any out of the Trinity River. Nobody of color.
Right.
Of late.
Yeah. Is Kevin Martin still in the Dallas area?
I don't know. You know, he's from Jacksonville.
Oh, really?
I have.
Okay.
You know, I went to school with a lot of guys that well. Kmart.
Now, my man Givens. I used to like him a lot. My man Givens used to play for the Oilers. Isn't he from Florida, Givens? I forgot Givens' first name.
Yeah.
Number 81, he used to play for the Oilers.
He's Bird. He's a little bitty dude, man, but he took big hits. He's from St. Pete.
Yeah, he's nice. He's from St. Pete, huh? Okay. He seems to be pretty level-headed. I used to love the Oilers off run and shoot offense. Yeah.
Different era, but they all complain. But see, Warren Moon twist that thing out of there at least 30, 40 times a day, so you can get your 5 to 10 catches.
you're gonna get your catches.
That's appropriate. Yeah. He had
an amazing amount of talent that came out of him.
I don't even know if he's in the Hall of Fame or anything yet.
Warren Moon?
I don't.
Givens not in it. I don't think any of the receivers made it for the Oilers. Jeffries,
none of them.
Wester Slaughter. Who else did they have? A couple other brothers. Billy.
I remember him.
Did Billy make it as a special teams? He didn't make it as a special teams.
He might have, but I don't think he's in the Hall. But, yeah, I just remember him, man, so distinctively.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So, and think about how confining the league has become a little bit. When Elmo Wright, Otis Taylor, Billy Whiteshoe, Deion Sanders in the early days, all these celebratory measures that they had in there to score when they touchdown. That was a highlight. Wanted to see what they were going to do.
Oh, yeah. Especially Billy Wright. He's loved it.
Yeah, he danced, didn't he?
But
Yeah, he could do it.
That's the first one I can remember doing a celebratory thing. I'm sure there were others, but he was one of the first ones I can remember.
Who
was
that,
Harold?
Yeah, you mentioned
Billy White Shoes.
You mentioned Elmo Wright. Yeah, Billy White Shoes, yeah. Yeah, you mentioned Elmo Wright, too. Elmo Wright's the first one I saw was Elmo Wright.
Oh, yeah?
You know, that's what you look
for. You talk about Dallas. You know, you talk about Texas and Florida football. Guess what area of the country has very little high school football?
Who? Your area?
New York. No, throughout the whole nation.
Oh.
It must be a big area. But I don't know. That'd be somebody up north.
It's a big city.
Down south.
It's a big city. It's a big city. It's definitely a big city, yes. But they have minimal high school football. What city would that be?
Ooh. I'd have to fight. He said the East Coast,
south.
Man, somewhere up north.
East Coast, yeah. What city in the East Coast?
New York.
There you go. They said New York high school football is nil. Guys, let's talk to him. I was talking to him, bro. I said, man, I don't know if anybody really comes out of New York City football. He said New York City football is minimal. It's just really not promoted. They don't have a lot of facilities there. If you're going to play, you're going to have to go to New Jersey. I was talking to a friend the other day. He said that's exactly the case. He said he wanted to play football, but he couldn't because in his area in New York City, I think he grew up in Brooklyn. There were no schools that had football. He almost went to this other school to play football, but he was outside of the zone by three blocks.
Right. Now the private
school, high school
the
football
private school had money that would do it in New York City, but everybody couldn't go to school. So that's why you had the basketball was big. In New Jersey, I can say Cheryl, the lady that runs his operation, she grew up in Newark.
Okay, then.
Well, you know, you got basketball. Yeah, Rutgers has struggled in football.
Right.
They get better, man. You know, from down from Orange. Look, from Orange to East Orange to West Orange. You know, that's Harris and them. With.
Yeah.
You're the basketball team
and
in coach.
Yeah. And in New York City, they said they play their football on Friday afternoons. That's when they play the games, is Friday afternoons. If you wanted to get a ticket to see the New York State football championship, you had to email somebody to get a ticket. So it's funny how football is not promoted in that area up there.
But first of all, West can do this. But you know what? If they can do what North Dakota, South Dakota is doing with football from a college standpoint, they got little schools. They rocking the world in 1AA. I forgot who won yesterday. They were here in the Dallas area playing the championship. But, you know, a lot of states, football is key. And can you imagine? We're fortunate that you're in New Orleans, you have your team, and it's a regional thing, but no professional sports, major professional sports in North Dakota, South Dakota. So they cover the minimum, cover them. In this city, they may get some of them as an AFC team, and so on and so forth. This map that
but
they
But you think
have
all those black men, just think all those black males you got, or black men in New York City that don't play football. That's a lot of men, brothers, that don't play football. Man, it's a whole lot.
Right? Let me get real country on you. They can play basketball or they play record. Go find a DJ now. They'll find a DJ.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you got DJs plenty up there. You got plenty of rappers up there, you know. But what was the brother that got killed? The rapper, he was pretty good size too. Biggie Smalls, he could have been a football player, huh?
But Biggie was blessed to do what he was doing. The Biggie looked like he couldn't play no football.
He's pretty good size though.
What size
was he about?
He a couple of X's.
Do you?
And then you had the Fat Boys. Remember, you had the Fat Boys. They could have played some football too, but they didn't have a football program.
They could have been a. They could have been a. They looked like they ate a football.
Wait, yeah, one of them sounded like he had asthma.
Oh yeah,
He was wheezing all the time.
Yeah, there you go.
One of them. Yeah, God bless their soul. But yeah, these folks, you know, it's territorial, and they're known for the. For the basketball, you think of Dr. J, all the people, Ron Artest, all the guys that Lou Alcindor, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, you know, that was the Mecca. That's what they call the Mecca when you go to Rucker. You know, in Kobe and the, showing them boys really how good they are when they go down there and show
up.
You know, if you play basketball, you know, I was good, but I wasn't great. I wasn't that, you know, didn't motivate me to get out there. I had a goal start. I tried to, you know, I could hit free throws like it wasn't nothing. But that practice, those guys, that's their life. When you're 6'11", hopefully you can do something with
it. So how's basketball in Dallas and Florida? How's basketball in Dallas and Florida areas?
I think Texas might be just a little better in basketball. It's coming around. Florida has put their guys out. But Texas has of late. You had Chris Bosh. You had, what's the big boy from Ozen? Kendrick, that's on the ESPN. He's a Texas boy. We got the Clayton Shaq from in San Antonio.
Kmart played in Denver Michael Williams. But the guy that played in Denver with Carmelo, he's from here. As a matter of fact, he went to, I believe, Cedar Hill. I forget his name. But, yeah, he's put on camp. Like I said, I can't think of a football player.
What's that stutter real bad? Martin, Kevin, what's his name? Kmart, they call him too. Martin that played, he went to Cincinnati. He went to Bryan Adams here.
Oh, okay.
His son league now. He couldn't shoot, but he so much. He's in Dallas for. But Porter, look, I can still say Daryl Dawkins.
Dawkins from there?
Oh, yeah. He's from Orlando. I'm going to Florida now.
Oh, okay. Orlando. Right.
Daryl Walker.
D
Brown, you know, just to name a few. I'm sure we've had more over that, but they've held well. But Dallas, they have Dennis Rodman, you know, people that put the name on the board pretty good. Now, I tell you, the best basketball player that never played in the NBA, to me, from a high school standpoint, was Michael Crabtree.
I remember, the receiver.
Yeah. Michael Crabtree was Mr. Basketball his senior high school, his senior year in high school.
Right.
But Texas Tech, with the impression of playing football and basketball, Bobby Knight was going to let him do both.
Okay. Right.
And, you know, I know Crabtree personally. And, you know, he was the lead guy. He was a cat from Dallas, too. Michael... He's kind of low-key. You know, I used to spin it back in the day, so I know the coolest guy on the campus is quarterback.
Every
quarterback is cool. Michael played quarterback in football.
Okay. Right.
And so,
what happened to his career? What happened to his career? It didn't take off like I thought it was.
What, in football?
Yeah.
Well, he did pretty good with the 49ers. Remember, they went to the Super Bowl. They lost to the Ravens. And that last pass, that Collins was, he threw it a little high, and they missed Crab in the corner. Remember, they were down to the last snap.
Right.
Well, I mean, he had a pretty good career. And now he's doing extremely well with youth basketball.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah, something five.
Okay.
That was his high school number.
Uh-huh.
So he won something five. as far as the AAU team.
But that's good. That's good.
Remember a guy named Michael Williams? He played for Detroit Pistons. I think he had the longest streak of made free throws in the league at one time.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, he's a Dallas product. And he has a construction company going here, and he does a lot for schools and the kids in the area. Patrick
Clayton.
He played receiver for the Cowboys. He's doing some good things, too, with his money for youth football.
So,
quite a few people who have come in the city and done great things. But,
how's Tony Dorsett coming along? I know Tony Dorsett had a dementia. How's he coming along now, Tony Dorsett?
He come along, but he's still suffering. And so his college roommate, he used to play for Tampa. His name was Cecil Johnson. And they all suffering from the head injuries.
Really?
They all suffering. I went to an event about 3 weeks ago, and Mel Renfro from the old Cowboys.
Oh, yeah.
He hurting, too. They all hurt, unfortunately.
Right.
I say one of the best basketball players that didn't make it to the NBA, I would be remiss if I didn't mention my classmate, Carl Wright, out of Roosevelt, man.
Okay.
That guy was phenomenal. He went to SMU.
Really?
Tried out with a few teams, just never quite caught on. But, man, this guy was phenomenal, bro.
Really?
You can ask any around that. They know him. Yeah, man. The guy was good.
He was a man, huh?
Oh,
I heard
man.
That.
Yeah, he was a personal friend of mine. He's real good, man. But just never caught on.
He's doing okay now, though?
Oh, man. He's
okay
retired
now?
From the military. Yeah, he went on to have a 20-some, 30-year with the military, retired, out doing
okay,
great.
Okay, good. I heard that.
In fact, his son, I think his son's name was Bracy. He played for Bob Knight at Texas Tech. And I don't know where he is now, but he's good, too. Bracy Wright, he played Texas Tech for Bob Knight when Bob Knight was there.
But you know what? Let me tell you, as we bring this to a close, Bracy Wright was the coldest joker in high school. His teammate was Ron Williams. It was Darren to us, but when he got to Utah, he became the Ron Williams.
He changed his name up.
Bracy was the best. But, guys, we got to finish this. And, folks,
stay tuned.
I'm going to go. We're going to hopefully during the week, we'll talk strictly sports. I wanted to kind of tackle it a little bit today. But we're going to maybe do something midweek in the future here. Talk with Cheryl a little bit more. But we thank you for being a part of the World According to Drew. I want to thank Eric and Harold for supporting the day. And think about this. As we say homage to Poitier, who broke barriers for our black actors and actresses, we want you to think, too, about let's pray for Antonio Brown. Something is going on. Something is clicking.
Yeah,
and hopefully we can get it healthy. But I tell you, something stink in that milk that comes from Denmark. And I love Tampa. It ain't right what's going on in Tampa. That's Andrew's opinion, no reflection of the state. But we love you. We'll be black next week. Lead you out on this good note. Have a great week, folks.